It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
There is a picture of Ally Afraidy getting hip checked in New York, and all you see is him holding on to his helmet because he does not want the skullet visible. He's holding on for dear life to his skullet.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 on the TSN Go app. Brian Hayes, the O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles McLennan. Maple Leaf game night tonight. The Kings are in town. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Watch it on TSN 4. And Ray's coming up here in just a moment. I'm assuming he'll be down at the ACC. If he's not, he'll be panicking, which means he won't be in the mood to talk to us.
Oh, yeah, he'll be fine.
He'll be down there. I don't think he likes during game day talking to us, but he'll do it.
No, he'll be down in the corridor. I know exactly where he is probably talking to us from.
Well, it's tough to find a place to make your phone work down there.
Yeah, it's by the media room there, but there's like a TSN has a little room off to the side of it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a little bit gritty to find quiet space there. So, and if the phone cuts out, you'll snap. We had one last week, I think, that you would have scissor kicked the glass. I can't remember who it was. He called back. I can't remember who the guest was, but Scotty Mack fought through it. And then we talked about it, said Hayes would have killed that person. Well, yeah. First Hunt would have got it.
Yeah, it would have been their fault first.
Who was it?
Yeah, Tim Kirchin, the baseball
Tim Kirchin.
No way. That's a great get, too. Yeah.
It's a good get, but he was like cutting out, and ooh. It was.
Yeah, close. That would not have been going over
and
well.
And Scotty Mack went Larry King, too. Like, he was...
That'd be right in his wheelhouse.
He's the baseball guy, so he just gave us the hand.
Well, last week, man, I missed out on it. It was a great week in sports. Like, I saw some stat that on Thursday night, all four of the big four leagues were playing for the only, like, the 17th time in history.
Really?
Because Thursday night football, you had baseball playoffs, and the NBA and the NHL were in full swing.
See, wow. I think you think the spring is the better time. I like now.
Spring because of playoffs. Hockey playoffs and NBA playoffs. And, you know, if the Jays are not a competitive team in the fall, at least you've got a new season that you're looking forward to in the spring. But I'm such a big NFL fan, I guess I probably would take the fall because...
Well, have you given up on the Packers? Like they're
I like the fall because
They're done. They're absolutely done. That Brett, did you see the pick he threw to close that game out last night? He missed. I can't remember who he was throwing it at by 15 yards. Like he overthrew him by like 15 yards.
Well, what about what New England did to Atlanta last night?
The fog.
The
fog game. I thought it was awesome.
You liked it?
I love that. I love when like the weather elements factor in and kind of
Well, I liked it how it was like you're watching from a distance and it's like you got to give me a better angle than that, and then they take you basically right in the
You know
field.
Why they did that? They had that the drone.
They had to.
Well, they
it
had
was
to.
Unreal.
Wasn't it great?
The drone. I thought to myself, how can hockey not have a drone? Could you not have a drone flying
I'll tell
underneath,
you what,
the,
I
underneath the clock?
With the referees, with their vision, I would have been drop-kicking guys when they weren't looking, just because it's like, you can't pick that up.
Oh, you could have got away with anything. I don't think you could have a drone in hockey because I don't think the field of play is big enough.
Yeah.
Like, if there's a minor malfunction and that thing runs into some guy in the crowd, you're toast.
You're right. Yeah.
Right? Like, lawsuit 101.
No, I mean, I do like, I don't know if people like the helmet cam by the ref. It's
one of those things. I think they just do it so that they can brag that they have it.
That's fair.
And that applies to every network that uses it. But it's so choppy.
Right.
A lot of times you're like, this is the view that the ref saw. I'm like, if that's the view, this guy should get the hell out of the league because that was a brutal view.
It's a Blair Witch view. Like the movie, The Blair Witch.
Exactly. The camera's constantly moving.
It's choppy. But I just thought to myself, like, I thought it was so cool that game with the drone last night.
Very well done.
And it was so close to the play. I was wondering, like, I wonder if they could have something. I know in hockey they've had it on a string or whatever, or on a rope or whatever it was.
You know what I was also thinking about last night watching that game? And NBC did a great job pregame of teeing up that it's a Super Bowl repeat and rematch, and throughout the game, Michaels and Collinsworth were constantly referencing it. How many sporting events in history, and I can think of one right here in Toronto, where you think of a score and you associate it to that game and it's not the final score? And what I mean by that is, when I think of this most recent Super Bowl, I think 28-3. I don't even think 34-28.
Yeah,
I forgot.
At one particular time, everyone looked at the TV and said, it's 28-3. This game is over.
Yeah, because the lead, right?
Exactly. And it's all over. Every meme, every Vine, every shirt in New England is 28-3.
Well, I'll hold a bigger picture for you. Faces. I'll go to a hockey series. San Jose 3, L.A. nothing.
There you go.
I thought this stat in this series is over. It's over.
But that's a series. That's a series.
I know.
I'm talking a game. You know what? You know what other game I can think of where there was
4-1.
4-1 in Boston.
All right, stop.
4-1 in
Boston.
You're
bring it up.
11 minutes left.
Yeah. 4-1 is bigger than 5-4. It is. Yeah. All right. Let's bring in Ray.
Dan, bring in Ray.
You want me to bring in Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. What's happening, Ray?
Wow. Like a what a comeback.
Yep.
Oh, he's on fire.
His name's Dan now.
Dan. Why Dan?
Lieutenant Dan.
Oh, that's outstanding. I can't believe you've made it back so quick.
Oh, thank you. Only six shows.
Yeah, you know, it was interesting. One thing that I just noticed, though, is like when Scotty Mack was in, the first day he was subbing for you, you know, I listened to a good 4 or 5 minutes of their segment, too. It was awesome. And
so
I just did the same
for
thing.
A while?
Yeah, fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, I thought that was a pretty good take, don't you?
It was about a 6 minute, like, before we got to Ray.
Really?
Yeah, it was.
And this is how long I was on. I walked down the hallway. I'm in the hall between, out by the Leafs room. Walked down the hallway, said hi to Mike Camilleri and Darcy Kemper. Still came back. You were still going. So I stopped listening and went back to say hi. And Kemper's living in Hermosa Beach. He likes it. And picked up a lot of information while you were talking
good
about
for
the score.
What'd you think of my 28-3?
Very
take?
Good. 4-1, 21-3.
It's true, 20, though, right?
28-3. Yeah, for
like
sure.
How often in sporting events, in games, do you think of a score, associate a score with a game that isn't the final score?
No, well, when you said it the first, like, you know, associate a score, I like the like games that I remember are like from my childhood or whatever. I remember like 7-6, but that was when Carlton Fisk hit a home run, the one, you know, where he's waving it fair.
Right.
But that's the final score. That doesn't count in your, you know, I couldn't tell you it was 6-4 at some point or something. Not like that.
No, exactly. I mean, and that's the truth. I actually had to think about it last night. I'm watching the Pats game. I'm like, oh, yeah, it went to overtime. Like, it went to overtime, and they won 34-28. I totally, in that moment, if you asked me what the final score would have been, I probably would have said 29-28.
Yeah,
because I just think of 28-23, and they came back and won. They must have won by 1 point.
You know what I loved last night was, and of course it was by necessity, is they couldn't use the up cameras. And so that camera right over Brady's shoulder that, you know, you could see, like you could see the route the guy was running, and you're like, you could see how narrow they've got to throw the ball into. I thought that was outstanding stuff.
I agree. I loved the camera angles last night, just from a fan's perspective, seeing how tight things were and what they had to maneuver with. I thought it was awesome.
Well, we were wondering, like, the NHL game, where else can they take it? Like, what's the next camera angle or next form of technology that can enhance the viewer's experience? I'm not sure what it would be.
Well, they've tried that low camera. You know, they use it. It looks a little bit like a video game. But if they use it during the play, all you see is a bunch of the guys' asses around the boards because, you know, everything's so close. Football, that low camera is back in the end zone. So they've got, you know, you can get a wider perspective. They tried that, you know, the camera here at the ACC that was up high, but it can only be on one side of the ice, so they can only use it one way. It's just, you know, it's just the constraints of the building are, you know, make it real difficult for some grand creative view to come up. I kind of think we got what we got, you know?
Yeah, yeah, you're probably right. Leafs-Kings tonight, you can watch it on TSN 4 here, right here on TSN 1050. you know the way this city works. One loss, and it wasn't a very good one, and now the focus turns to some of the negatives. And last year it was every week, week and a half, I think Nylander will be traded, and at some point they're going to have to move on from Nylander. Now Marner's become that guy. I mean, it's amazing how, again, it's only Twitter, but there are enough tweets coming in to me. I'm sure you're seeing them too.
Well, it went from this guy's going to challenge these other two guys for the rookie of the year, and now it's like, he's the forward you should move.
Right, he's too soft, or he's just out of it, and he hasn't improved year over year. I mean, give the kid a break. You know, he's not playing well, but he's still talented. He's still remarkably talented.
Well, the real way to look at it, I guess, is you, and the way management always does, is they never look at anything, or the good managers don't anyway. They don't look at anything in a small sample, a small viewing. They look at a bigger picture, and if they see something in 20 games that's disturbing, well, then maybe that's a little different. I go back to last year, and I want to say it's now three goals in, what, they've played eight games, like three goals in 30 games for Marner at whatever point that was last year and then through the playoffs. And so the goals have not gone in for him. It's been I think it's something to try and figure out a little bit here. I don't think he's had a terrific start to the year, goals or no goals. He, in my opinion, has got to find some kind of adjustment again, because the league adjusts to you. Patrick Kane plays differently than he first did. He had to make an adjustment because everybody learned about him. Marner's not surprising anybody else. When he goes behind the net and then comes up the other side, they're now have already talked about it. It's not new for them. And so now he's stuck. It's funny, though, the addition of Marlowe just, gives them 10 forwards where they had nine. Everybody's a little less comfortable, perhaps, in their position. I'm sure Marner wasn't even worried about it in the least, but now he's in that blender, too. They never had any of this last year. Everything went pretty well perfectly last year, and this year it's, things are a little different. And there is the fact that you cannot surprise anybody anymore, and that does make a difference.
And yet they're 6-2, Ray. That's the thing, and I was saying this before. Babcock, because of the record and the offensive depth, has the luxury to put his thumb on some guys and maybe move them around a little bit to try and get some habits corrected early on in the season.
Well, he's certainly got more options than most guys have. I mean, LA's without Jeff Carter tonight and will be for the next couple of months at least. And that was just a terrible stroke of bad luck for the Kings. Well, how are they going to replace Jeff Carter? You don't have any options for that. Well, Toronto's got all kinds of lineup options, moving people around. If they had to call somebody up, they got more talent that's not quite proven at the NHL level, but you would call up another skilled guy. Like they've got plenty of chairs they can move around. A lot of teams just don't have it, and it's impossible to have in a cap spot.
Ray, we were talking about the rules and how it'll affect Roman Polak coming back. He's a kind of a hacker and whacker. I mean, do you think this guy could just jump in and survive? Because you know what he plays like. He's a very physical guy, and I love his competition level, but he likes to chop.
I would say the toilet seat for prep for tomorrow could be on three slashing penalties.
You're already thinking about your toilet seat, aren't you?
I am.
Flush, you bastard.
It's a segment stuck in my head. Just think of the way he defends. The guy gets outside him, and it's like whack, 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 all the way back around the net. He'll have, that's going to be hard, and it's going to seem fast for him. He hasn't played in six months, I guess, and now his preferred method of defending is a penalty, so he's going to have to change a little bit. But the way Babcock sounded today, they're most interested in trying to take some of the heavier minutes away from Zaitsev, and that's the penalty kill stuff, and they think it's just too much for him. And so we'll see. It was I'm not surprised they signed him, but we'll see how that bottom pairing kind of sorts itself back out here, because it's going to take a little bit of time for Polak to get up to the level of play that he's going to get to. Now, he's older, and sometimes when you come back, you don't get to the level you were previously at. And so we'll have to see.
Well, and I think this is an opportunity for Babcock, and he's going to relish it. It's a jolt to the system of the team. I mean, that's what he's looking to do. Putting Marner on the fourth line, that would have had a ripple effect on everyone. They all would have looked at that and said, Mitch is on the fourth line. This guy had 62 points a year ago, right? And now you bring in Pollock, you're at 6-2, and you're signing a guy to try to improve yourself. You know, and I don't know if he will, but it's just one more opportunity for Babcock to keep these guys on their toes.
I had this, you know, my gut feel was when he came back to camp here, I was like, man, I wonder when they're going to sign him, not if they're going to sign him. And what it does for me is it clears up the uncertainty of, is he going to be back? And when is he going to be back? Because I think most guys probably felt like he was going to be. And so there's a certain point where guys like Borgman and Rosen, Carrick even for that matter, they're constantly looking over their shoulder, you know, with the opinion of, let's just get it over with. Let's get him signed and let's get him in here. You know, and that cleans that up a little bit too. But you're, you know, coming off the loss in Ottawa, which coaches love to have. They love their team to get stepped on every once in a while. So they
Babcock
get to go.
Loved that, didn't he? Didn't he love coming out and saying, Ottawa, they're the big boys still, and we got a lot to learn and a lot to prove.
The worst thing that could have happened is Toronto coming back and winning that game 7-5 or something.
Right.
You know, that for him anyway. I mean, when it gets to 3-2, I mean, like, I just did the game Thursday. They kicked it away against New Jersey there. And I was like, man, this is the same thing that's going to happen again. And then Zaitsev sends Stone in on a breakaway, and it's 4-2. And then, but they get it to 4-3, and you're like, oh, man, they're still going to do it.
Right.
Like, they still almost pulled it out. Like, you know, Marner has that chance that Anderson stops right before Brassard's goal. And, I mean, that could have been 4-4, and then all bets are off.
Well, Ray, we talked about that. We isolated that play in the previous hour, and I think that is a perfect example of how Marner is lacking in confidence, because a player of that caliber, the way he thinks the game, I think last year he picks that up and he deeks. He skates in. Like, that was like a fourth-line move, wasn't it? I just got to get it off my stick. I can't believe I have it.
Noodles, you can mention or talk about this, but I thought it was a lousy shot.
Which one?
I got Marner's.
Marner.
Yeah.
Oh, do you?
He grabbed it and threw it. Like it.
Yeah,
it,
but it was midway up the net. And, if he misses it over the net or misses it right to the corner, I'm okay with. But it was like, you're right, Brian. It was a lousy shot.
I agree.
Took it and fired it.
I thought Brian made a great point, because last year, Marner would have had the confidence to just slow that play down. Because, Ray, you know it, and you can speak to it too. When you guys are on your game, the game seems to move a lot slower and you execute exactly what you want. If he's probably sitting on the bench and looking at the replay and going, how did I...
He had 10 feet both ways.
I had nothing but time to make exactly the play I wanted to.
When you're dialed in, that's a get. You're
but
like,
it's just... And then that's what makes what I've seen Matthews so much more superior than a lot of other players, is that he does everything at a high rate and he doesn't have a panic threshold. So, and I'm not, I think Marner has that in his game, but right now his confidence is a little bit lower.
And then
so
on top of it, they go down the ice and score immediately.
Did you see Ottawa's bench? The guys were giving it to Oduya, because what could have been, right? That's a game of inches.
Yeah, did he ever burp that thing up?
Oh man,
that is a bad place to be when you're standing still, and it happens in a second, and you're like, I'm not even really sure what happened, but the game's still going on. That's good.
And everything's slow. It's slow motion. It was almost like no, it goes right to him. But I mean, Anderson. I thought Craig Anderson made a good play, because he actually just took ice. Like, he just came out to the top of his crease, and he's a stand-up. He's kind of a throwback goaltender.
He could have been asleep in that.
Well,
like, he's
exactly.
Thinking, Oduya's got time. Marner's probably going to try to go for a change.
Yeah, but it was
Craig
a sharp
Anderson
play.
Could have played in 1966
for sure.
The old stand-up stuff, and maybe the little left lean when the guy's coming down the wing.
Yep.
You know how they used to lean away?
Oh, yeah, you lean to the strong side always, and that gave up the far side.
Yeah, he could have done that for sure.
Montreal got spanked on Friday night. They've lost 7 in a row. They're 1-6-1. Worst goal differential in the league, and I believe by a substantial margin, -20. Price isn't playing well. No one's playing well. No one can score. No one can skate. And now they're heading home, and flames have been lit in Montreal. I mean, they're going postal. How do they possibly dig themselves out of it? Can they?
Well, for me, the only way they can is, because they're not going to invent guys that can score, is they have to tighten up their game. I know they're trying to score more. They're trying, you know, that you the game in L.A., Carl Alsner's pinching down around the front of the net, and it ends up a 2-on-1 back the other way. Well, Carl Alsner gets 3 goals a year, but he sees the problem. He's trying to fix it. And so everybody's stepping outside themselves here, trying to do way too much. And if you don't score a lot and you can't find people to score, well, then you better defend way better. And they don't. Their goaltending hasn't been great. The problem to me is their defense is not great. So if they want to defend better, it's going to be hard for them. The other thing is, the style of game that is prevalent in the league now is you've got to go forward. If you're just trying to defend and play a real counterattack, counterpunch game, I don't think you can be successful anymore. You can't slow people down. You can't hook them. You can't hold them. You can't defend the way you could even just a couple of years ago. And I didn't pick Montreal to make the playoffs in our predictions, and I didn't do it because I didn't think they could score, and I didn't think their defense was very good. And they got some problems that are not going to be easily solved.
No.
Major problems.
Major problems, and I'm with you.
And, Brian, you know they look like Ray, and you played on probably some bad teams in junior, the body language when it's not going good. Everyone's you're almost just out there waiting for something to happen, or just waiting for the year. Like, it's just like, you know you're not good enough, and it's a horrible feeling.
Well, I don't know how they came into this, though. Like, I think they swung and missed on their, you know, on their summer plan. You know, they gave Markov and Radulov basically similar offers and said, you know, first one to take it, that's what we got. And then neither of them took it. Now they're screwed. You know, so they trade through. If Radulov had taken that, they might not have done the Sergachev deal. But now they don't have Sergachev. They don't have Radulov. Yes, they got Drouin, but In the sum of that one transaction, they're behind.
Well, I think it's proving that Drouin is very talented, but he should be playing right wing, an off shot.
Well,
right
have
wing.
You been seeing that Sergachev kid too?
Well, he would be leading the Habs in scoring.
He'd be their best player.
He's got 3 goals this year.
He's been outstanding.
I keep going back to Galchenyuk. They drafted him as a center, and then they decided that he's not. And I look at their center ice position, which I think is the worst in the league. And I wonder, how bad could Galchenyuk be in the middle? Like, how terrible must he be that they can't play him there? And the answer is, I don't think he is. They've just decided this is their course of action. So now they've got, you know, Phil Deneau and Thomas Plekanec and Drouin, who's a winger, playing in the middle. And Torrey Mitchell, I mean, like, that's not going to get it done.
No.
They've got $8 million of cap space. Great. Now, what are you going to trade to get somebody in? Like, how are you going to trade? What are you going to trade to get an asset back? I just don't know how they do it.
Well, and I can't imagine if this keeps going south, Bergevin will be back. But the new GM can't come in and say, you know what I want to do is scorch the earth and be horrible, because you got Carey Price. So he's not.
Yeah.
He's,
also, you've also got him for starting next year for 8 years.
Right. Ten and a half. I mean, you're locked into a certain amount of points every year because of him. So, like, what do you do? How do you turn this thing around? I really don't know.
Oh,
I think
boy.
They're in big trouble for many years.
Yeah, I don't see where the way forward is.
And guess what? That Weber deal, it may not be here yet. In the next 2 or 3 years, it is going to be one of the worst contracts in the league.
Well, it's around for 9 more years.
Well, and here's the other thing, too. Along with that, they've drafted terribly. They don't have young people coming that they can be super excited about. So aside from these older guys that are going to make a bucket of the cap, they don't have any young people that you can say, oh, yeah, but they've got this younger player coming and this younger player coming, and they can start to change the way they play. They don't have them.
It's going to be ugly. It's already ugly.
It is ugly.
Leafs Kings
what
tonight.
Is it, 8 or 9? 8?
Well, 9 including this year. So it's still a lifetime.
So Weber's got 8 years left after this year?
After this year, yeah.
Oh. Yes, guy.
And so what, is he at $12 million? Or what does he make?
I think his cap's like 8.5 or 9.
I thought it was a bit lower, but I'll look it up. Okay. I thought it was 7, 8 or something like that. Still doesn't matter. It's a big number.
Okay, so let's say it's 8 and price is at 10. You had $18 million in these two guys.
For 8 years.
Oy, oy, oy. And I wouldn't mind it if they had people around them.
That's the thing.
But they have to lead this team. Those are the two guys that kind of have to be the linchpins for a long time for success, and I expect it out of Price, and I think Weber will still be very good.
The big thing is we've seen with the Toronto Maple Leafs to get better, you're not doing addition. It just doesn't work. You can't start buying pieces and make it work because
that's
you got to draft and develop. You have to. Anyway, Leafs Kings tonight. Two good teams. Two teams that are off to a good start. TSN 4. Looking forward to it, buddy.
Yeah, we'll get at it, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. Good to have you back, Brian. Yeah,
thanks, buddy.
His name's Dan.
It's Dan.
Oh, yeah. Lieutenant. Hey, Lieutenant Dan. Keep ice in your knee, Lieutenant Dan.
I will be. I appreciate it. There he is. Ray Ferraro, our hockey analyst, joining us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Check out the new 2018s and get rates starting at 0%, plus receive 5,000 Aeroplan miles with every purchase. Go to MapleToyota.com. Don't forget to listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. On Friday, if you call in with the names of all five players, you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the Golden Knights. 6-1 Vegas on November 6th down at the ACC. The theme this week is former Maple Leafs who were drafted to an expansion team. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Tom Fitzgerald.
Tommy Fitz. Good guy. Really good guy.
Really good
Smart
guy.
Smart hockey guy, too.
Boston guy,
I believe he's in New Jersey now with Ray Shiro.
They're off to a pretty good start themselves.
Yep.
The Upper Deck Maple Leaf lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZypherEpic.com. We've got to get to Mow Your Lawn Monday. Craziness in the NFL, craziness in the NBA, and TFC making history. We'll touch on that next. All right, so we've got the Maple Leafs Kings tonight right here on TSN 1050. Oh, you're off for the panel at around 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk some NFL to kick off the 6 p.m. hour. Brian Mitchell will join us, former NFLer. Monday night is a big one tonight, Washington-Philly. Philly's 5-1. Like, they don't really feel like a Super Bowl contender, but maybe it's just because they haven't been in that conversation for a number of years.
Speaking of goofy stuff, I think one of the Steelers players came out with a tweet today. And these guys these days, they just do not care what, like, screwing over your own teammates saying, get rid of him, I'll stay, like, you should want me. It's crazy.
Yeah, it was Martavis Bryant.
You can get into it in the six, but I just find it nuts. I don't know what these guys do if they go home and have a couple scotches and they just start sipping on grandpa's cough medicine and sending out tweets, because thought of actually doing that on a pro sports team.
Yeah.
Like, it's like Noodles when he was playing saying, screw Ron Hextall, you guys need me. And then actually having to go back in that room the next day.
He's done this before. He's been suspended before. Martavis Bryant.
It is flat out crazy.
I think they got to move on from him. I mean, I think he's jealous of Antonio Brown, who's just better, and he's never going to catch him. Brown's the number one guy, so he's got to deal with number two. But there's a rookie named Juju, I can't remember his last name, who's been playing pretty well. And someone was commenting about how well he's playing, and Bryant responded by saying,
screw that guy.
Yeah, basically, get me more touches or get me out of here, forget him.
Yeah.
And then you've got Eric Bledsoe from the Suns, who they fire their coach 3 games into the season, which screams of dysfunction.
Yeah.
How do you fire a guy 3 games into a season? I don't even
you
care how they
fired
play
him
out.
Before the season.
Flyers did a couple years ago. They fired Lavi.
Because they knew they didn't want him anyway.
Right. Well, then you do it right away.
Exactly. Man up and fire him.
I agree.
But then Eric Bledsoe jumps on Twitter and tweets out that he doesn't want to be there.
Then follows that up with, I was at a hair salon.
Claiming he was at a hair salon.
By the way, it'll say on the deleted tweet what time he sent that out. That's the Let's do some investigative work here.
It was late last night. I doubt he was actually at the hair salon.
There's not a hair salon that's open at that time.
Even if there is.
Yeah, I've been at late night hair salons, but drinking.
Yeah, dude,
he wants
out. They
have after hours bars in the basements of salons.
He wants out. He made it clear, I believe, over the summer he wanted out. He was close with Earl Watson, who just got fired. He tweeted out he wanted out. That's what happened.
We're going to do Mow Your Lawn right now?
Yeah.
I want you to hear, I snuck in this, do you have it, Mark? You said something, and I wanted to say, oh, yeah, but I made it sound really creepy, and it's kind of horrifying. Can I hear it?
It was a great week in sports. Like, I saw some stat that on Thursday night.
Dude, what the hell was that?
That was really weird.
Well, can I hear that again?
Oh, yeah.
That is really...
Dude.
I don't know. As soon as I said it, I was like, man, that sounded...
That's a Brandy Love like. You missed the whole Brandy Love nonsense,
I heard.
Too.
Did she end up coming on? Or
no,
what?
But she... I read it out.
We talked.
They were direct messaging on Twitter. Oh, so yeah, I read the direct message.
You were sliding into her DMs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You sly dog, you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I read it out. It was he was very respectful, though.
We
got to
turn into something.
Oh, yeah.
Well, should we hit Mow Your Lawn Monday?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Can we call you sometime, Pocahontas?
You got a number? Want some of this?
How about a little of that?
All right.
Mow Your Lawn Monday.
Mow Your Lawn Monday is brought to you by the Irv Pub, featuring a made-from-scratch menu and a great selection of local craft beer in the heart of Cabbage Town. Stop by the Irv Pub and say hi to Regan and Jackie down on Carlton, our favorite pub in the city. We love those guys.
We always kick this segment off, and it's Oscar Dansk.
Ooh, the goaltender.
The guy that came in for the Vegas Golden Knights and won it in overtime, hit the strip after. Can you imagine? Well, I don't know how much weight it carries to wheel into places and say, I'm a goalie for the Vegas. But maybe it's starting to.
I'll bet you it works in Vegas.
There's some Canadians down there, too. Like a lot of Canadian people transplanted down there.
Dude, it's their first major sports team.
And they are pretty. Like, they're playing well.
They're packing the building.
There might be something to be said about them having one of the great home records of all time. Because they're beating teams at home.
Although St. Louis, I looked it up, they don't play again until Wednesday night at home.
Yeah.
I thought what I saw of that game, St. Louis deserved to win. They were playing well.
They were playing for the day off.
Yeah. It would not shock me if Mike Yeo walked into that room before the game.
When
and said,
we stay.
When? Plane leaves tomorrow at noon.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were out there grit grinding.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
oh,
they got a point. Noodles, who you got mowing lawns?
I've got a two-pack, and it is Steven Stamkos and Kucherov.
They are going back to Tampa and mowing down
those
lawns.
Those two are...
Can I buy your lady a drink? She's with me. No, she's not. Not anymore.
Oh, yeah.
Tampa's back, man. Ooh. Tampa, I think we all expected this, but they are... A good team.
They are a good team.
They are a talented team.
You're loving. Oh yeah,
it is. Yeah. It is some sort of. We're gonna have to come up
it's
with a
such
creepy
a weird
segment.
Response.
I want to hear it from the beginning, though. I don't know why I popped this in.
It was a great week in sports. Like I saw some stat that on Thursday night.
Dude, what the hell is that?
It almost sounds like it's like not Photoshop, but like audio shopped.
Yeah, it
like
was
it's
like
not
I
conducive.
Was Brazzers alone and somebody had a recorder.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I'm talking about sports.
Yeah, and you...
I'm talking about how it
was
a great
week. But
I
meant to, like, you know how you have to talk on the radio, how it's different than normal life. I meant to say, oh, yeah, and it just went...
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've got a lawnmower, and he happens to be right here in Toronto. That Sebastian Jovinko, did you see him last night? After Altidore scored, he grabs the beer and drank it. And then he scores on a penalty kick to tie the game, get them to 69 points, set the new MLS point record. And I saw someone tweeting about it today. I wish I could give credit to who it was. He went beer down, bar down.
Yeah, and
Jovinko,
give me your lady
and
now.
Then stepped on the strip, the King Street strip, post game after flying back from ATL and did work on a Sunday night.
Oh yeah,
oh yeah.
So Jovinko mowing.
I don't think we can keep using the oh yeah. It's a little aggressive.
It's still fresh enough where we can add the context. But if you drop that in like 3 weeks,
yeah,
no one's going to know.
Plus HR, I was going to visit the building.
No, it's not nothing. It's just I meant to say oh yeah, and it was just a little bit down.
Oh yeah,
a little bit down.
Like it was
sexual.
Lower.
Yeah, it was a little bit creepy.
I don't know. I just don't know.
Anyway, shout out to TFC. TFC, 69 points, bye in the first week. Have to feel pretty good about them getting redemption. MLS Cup.
For sure.
We'll be on top of it. We'll get into some NFL in the 6 p.m. hour. Teeing up the Leaf game tonight. Leafs Kings in about an hour pregame. Puck drop just after 7 p.m.
We're going to hit a break?
Is that okay with you?
Oh, yeah.
All right, longtime NFLer, current NFL analyst with NBC Sports and ESPN down in Washington, Brian Mitchell will join us in about 20 minutes, tee up the Monday nighter tonight, Washington-Philly.
See also where the Falcons' headspace is, because that's...
They don't look like a very good team.
They swore to everyone that they would not have a going to the Super Bowl hangover. You know all the teams that get there and they just disappear after? Let alone not even win it. Carolina is a great example where they got to the Super Bowl and just...
Same division. Year before, they were 15-1. Got to the Super Bowl, steamrolled through the NFC.
Missed the playoffs.
And then the
by
next
a
year,
long
they,
shot.
They were brutal a year. Yeah. They won like 5 games. Well, and now, like,
maybe
listen.
Maybe it's the Patriots just literally like crush your soul.
I think that's a part of it, but it's also what it does is it just amplifies
how
the
difficult
greatness,
it is to win.
Just the greatness of the Pats.
Yeah, that's
greatness of the Pats, greatness of the Warriors, greatness of LeBron, greatness of the Penguins. You know how hard it is to do that?
You're
like,
right.
How hard it is to every year show up and be like, we're doing it again. We're going right back.
But to his point, do you think they're in the minds of other teams? Like, do you think they're in the minds?
I think maybe in a one-off last night.
I'll tell you what, man. I lost in the finals to a team that I knew that we had no business winning. But up 28-3, that would literally crush my soul for life.
They're never getting over that.
Oh, yeah.
Their head coach, Dan Quinn, like he tried to play the role all throughout the offseason by telling anyone that would ask him that he's rewatched the game like dozens of times.
Yeah.
Because you know how a lot of people... Their instinct is, I'm never watching it, forget it, let's move on, let's pretend it didn't happen. He tried to go reverse psychology and try to convince people that he was going to recover and rehabilitate because he was actually watching it. Truth is, it doesn't matter. Watch it, don't watch it, it happened, and it scarred you.
Well,
it has scarred you as a team.
Was it Seattle that should have won in the play on the goal line?
Oh, that's right.
God. Like the coach would be, that's one you...
That would haunt me for life.
That was the Pats again.
I know.
With Marshawn Lynch out on the field, and they threw it from the
1 yard line.
One?
Like the 1 yard line. Yeah, it was like a punch in play. It was a goal line. Like literally a goal line.
I remember
why.
Were we at your house?
Yes.
Finkel is Einhorn.
We were at your house.
We were at my house.
Remember, we were at his house. I think Kate came by. And
yep.
Kara, like we had a whole, everyone was over.
We had a great night.
Great night, and watch, and. That they were no business.
No.
Seattle should have won.
Absolutely. It was over.
That's right.
And the Pats stole it from them. And they stole it from Atlanta last year. And the Pats, you know, they had a bad start this year. Guess who's, what are they, 5-2 now?
Yeah.
They're just going to keep humming along.
Brady goes
keep
legend.
Winning. Yeah, of course.
They're 5-2. It was like panic time.
They're going to win the division. They're getting 12
Didn't
wins.
Didn't they lose two of their first three? They lost their opening night.
Yeah, they lost opening night.
They might have
night.
Been 2-2 going in.
No, they won the next week in New Orleans, and then they lost at home to... I think they lost week
Houston.
4. No, they beat Houston, didn't they?
No, they didn't.
I thought it was
I
week 4
they
lost.
I thought they went 1-2.
No, it was. It was Carolina that went in and beat them.
Yeah.
So Carolina beat them.
They lost a couple times in their own building.
Yeah, they did.
And Belichick looked like he was going to choke somebody out.
They were 2-2. They went...
Oh,
they
you're
lost
right. They
one.
Lost at home to Kansas City, and then they lost to Carolina.
Right. And they had beaten Houston the week before, but just barely.
Yeah.
Remember? And that was Deshaun Watson, and people were like, wow, this is a rookie quarterback rolling in here and putting you on your heels.
Yeah.
You know, but now they're through the storm, and they're going to be fine. Well, and it's just, it's a lesson for any fan base that is trying to get ahead of themselves. It says two things. One, cherish what you have in the moment. Because if you have a really good team, jump on the bandwagon and ride it out, because who knows if they're going to get there again next year,
right,
or the year after that, 3, 5, 10 years down the road. And if you're calling dynasty, be careful what you're calling for, because it takes a lot to do this consistently. And we know in Toronto, that's what people are hoping for. The Leafs become a dynasty, become a team that wins multiple cups and is in it every year. But they got a ways to go.
Ways to go. It's so tough. Look at the Cubs, man. They were overwhelming favorites to win the World Series last year. They ultimately did. They're not back there this year. Like, it's so hard. Everyone's so competitive now. And
but to Brian's point, you want to be in the conversation. You want to be five or six, you know, one of the five or six teams.
People get tired of getting their ass. Look at Minnesota Timberwolves last night. That victory they pulled out. Who would have ever thought that they would ever even compete? But they get tired of getting killed there all the time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they've been a doormat for years.
That's right. And they bring in Jimmy Butler, and they're like, we're going to try to make this thing work. And they it's only one win, but...
It's a big win.
Yeah.
And Oklahoma City's a legit team in the West.
Yeah, it is.
Another quarterback went down yesterday. Was it Ryan? No. Ryan? I thought there was an injury last night, and I kept thinking that...
Well, Jake Cutler went
down. Cutler was the guy. He banged up his ribs.
And I kept thinking that Kaepernick could be... There's another...
He's not going to Miami. Obviously, he's not going to Green Bay.
When you serve notice to the owners, I don't think you're going anywhere.
I know. Like, I kept thinking to myself, at some point...
Like, I'm going to sue all you guys? No, thanks. They're going to say, no guy.
Oh, it's Carson Palmer? Yeah, in Arizona.
Yeah, there was an injury yesterday that I thought was a major injury, and
I think his career might be over. I saw someone tweet that out, that Arizona should go get Kaepernick. I'm not sure it's going to matter though in that division. Like, the Rams are legit.
Yeah,
I don't think
they're 5-2. I think.
Yeah, I don't think the Cards are going to be able to catch them. Anyway, Leafs Kings tonight on TSN 4. You're off panel.
Oh yeah,
it's been good these first 2 hours.
Yeah, it's a real good. Real good first day back.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a bit choppy.
No, to be honest,
I wouldn't grade myself anywhere close to an A or anything like that.
I'm giving you an A.
Yeah, I'm giving you an A.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
A grit grinder to be here.
I'm pushing it, man.
You are.
It's good to be back. All right, buddy. We'll catch you tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then, mister.